So this is a lifestyle and fandom podcast. Let's dive in. So this is Marvel,
more specifically WandaVision. Welcome to the first fandom episode. I'm here with my best friend Andres, all the way in Puerto Rico. So welcome, Andres.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
So we're going to talk everything WandaVision because we are newly obsessed with this show. And actually, I was obsessed with the show like before it was coming out. So I'm like so happy to talk about it now. We're going to talk about it before episode 7 launches. So, and we're going to launch the podcast, you'll see, before episode 7 launches. If you haven't watched the show, I would say we're going to talk a little bit just about the show overall, but you should probably stop listening, go watch the show, and then come back because we may or may not spoil it for you, and that would suck because you should be enjoying the show fully for what it is.
Actually, if you haven't been seeing it, like, what are you doing? Go back, go stop this and watch WandaVision, guys. Watch it. It's amazing.
Exactly. And then I also just need to say for all of my fandom episodes, I do work for the Disney company, so there's some things I cannot talk about, but it doesn't really relate to me doing movie reviews and TV show reviews. So I just want to put that between every episode just so everyone knows. So anyway, let's dive in. So where we are is episode 6, but I want to start talking about the show overall because there's so much to unpack.
So much.
So, well, what is your reaction? Like, were you excited about the show before it came out? Like, what were your thoughts about it before you even started it?
Well, you know, I don't have Disney Plus, so.
Well, you do now because you use my password.
They shouldn't know about that, Jen. But okay, I've been using my best friend's password. That's, well, you know, that's something that a lot of people do, but whatever. So I didn't know about the show until I think it was you who told me, hey, have you been watching WandaVision? And I was like, what? I had heard about it, but it was not something that it was, you know, on my proximity of interest. So I was like, okay, it's happening. And then Jen told me about it, and she gave me her password so I could watch it, so she could talk about it with someone, because nobody was watching it except her. Yeah. I mean, in her, you know, in her group of friends. So I started watching it, and I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
What is this? Oh my God, what is this in terms of wow, this is amazing at first. It was more like, what is happening? Because I watched episode 1, 2, and 3 all together. And Jen told me, I want you to just give me reaction. Give me immediate reaction. Text me and tell me, ask me questions or you know, any comment. And, you know, I was so confused. That was my first reaction. I was confused. Because, you know, it's not, that's the first thing I want to talk about. This is not like the typical Marvel film or any Marvel thing that we're going to watch at first. Yeah. You're like,
and you've seen a lot of them, right? You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, I think I've seen all of them. I think I'm not.
And that's another reason I offered it. I recommended it to you because I knew that you saw a majority of the movies. So I knew that you would know who she is. You would know who everyone is. And you'd be like, okay, I kind of get it, but like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not a Marvel super fan, so I don't know. I only know about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Besides that, I'm sorry, guys. I haven't done my study.
I'm going to also say that I think this whole conversation will be from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though we might be touching into some things from the comics. But I, as well, am not a huge Marvel comic person. I'm a movie and television person. So we're not going to be reviewing like the Easter eggs and things like that. We're going to be talking about more of the show and theories and acting and set design and beautiful things like that. But we are not expert Easter egg finders. So the beauty of talking about WandaVision is because the show is so beautifully done that people like us can review it because it's just on the scale of us reviewing it in terms of our own careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was excited about the show just because I love Wanda. Like, she was always one of my favorite characters. So going into the show, I was like, I'm ready for this. I can't wait to see what happens. And then just, I love what they're doing for Disney Plus in general, bringing all the shows on. It really brings kind of more energy to Disney Plus in general. So I feel like it's just so exciting on top of that. And then it's every week I'm like glued to TV and I'm like screaming and like crying at the same time because I don't know what's happening, but I do know what's happening.
The good thing about Disney Plus is that they, you know, it's Disney, so they have the money to make these amazing productions. It's, you know, it's like watching a Marvel movie, but every Friday night, you know.
Exactly.
Or every Friday during their day, or as soon as the episode comes out, depending on how engaged you are in the series.
And also what time zone you're in, because for me, it comes out at 3:30 in the morning, and for you, it would come out at 4:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
agreed, though. But, so did you, let's dive into it. Did you think that the first episodes were a little slow, or did you like the pace? Because I've heard a lot of people who said they started watching it, and they couldn't keep going. But then once everyone was like, oh my gosh, this happens, episode is in episode 5. Like, people got back into it. So what did you think about it?
Well, you know, again, I saw the first 3 episodes all together. So maybe that quickened, I mean, is that a verb? I don't even know. Quickened the pace. But I have to say, like, a lot of people have told me, oh, I don't know, like, the first episode was kind of low and it was kind of, like, the jokes were dull. And I was like, okay, but it's the 50s, so it's kind of the style that they were trying to brand themselves in that first episode.
Yeah, I heard that too, that, like, it was, like, too much I Love Lucy for me. And I'm like, well, that was the point. Like, so they did it well, if that was what you came across. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what kind of reached out to me originally, which is how well they did it. Like, in terms of acting, like, Elizabeth Olsen is, I feel like, so underrated because the freaking dialects that she has gone through without the whole show and in general before in the movies as well was amazing.
And like, the movement, I've been in love with the movements of Catherine Hahn, who plays Agnes, and Elizabeth Olsen, who of course plays Wanda Maximoff. All the actors have been amazing, but these two actresses have, how do you say that, botaron la pelota. English is not my first language, so there are going to be some phrases in Spanish, and then I'll try to translate them as much as possible.
He also speaks, how many languages do you speak now?
I speak 7 languages, and okay. I have braces, so it makes it even harder now.
So what were you saying about Catherine?
Yeah, so their movements are just amazing. Like, the way they change from one episode to the other is just, it shows how trained they are.
Exactly, because you could think about it too, that it's not like, this isn't like a season and another season. Like, they're going from episode to episode, which is decade to decade. So that's a lot to be like, oh, we're going to train you in this style, and the next thing you know, you're in this style. And yes, we grew up watching these shows, but it's one thing to see it, another thing to do it. So I think that was like, I was just taken back by Elizabeth Olsen's performance overall, like how great it was. And then her balancing that and also balancing who Wanda is, because obviously, like, this isn't her, like, this is her reality in the show, but she obviously is a person that is from our century. So I think it's just beautifully done.
There's also the problem of, there's also this issue that I love Catherine Hahn. Like, I've seen her in, I first saw her in Transparent. I don't remember the name of her character, but she was the rabbi. Then I saw her in Bad Moms, which is the movie that everybody knows her from. Like, I tell people about Catherine Hahn, and they go like, oh, the one from Bad Moms. And I'm like, but she has done a lot of amazing work. So I love her, and I know that she's an amazing actress, and she's very versatile.
I think a great thing about both of the actors for Vision and Wanda is that they're also balancing a way of you to know that they're their characters, but also another character in this fake reality. So same thing with Agnes. I love about Catherine's performance in this is that she's playing a double-edged sword. Like, you see her as a sitcom character, which she's playing beautifully in each different trope of what she is in each sitcom. But at the same time, you're questioning her motives and who she is in reality. I think that's what's great about her performance, especially in the latest episode, which we'll dive into more. But I just think that she is being able to balance, like, I'm playing this trope character, but at the same time, you're questioning who she is in real life. And that's the beauty in it. Like, it's not one-dimensional.
Yeah, same with Vision, but instead of us questioning him, he is questioning himself. He doesn't know who he is before this anomaly.
Before we dive into episode 6, what was your favorite like favorite moment in episodes 1 through 5?
So I think that my favorite moment is when this is in the 5th episode, they're in the 80s. Agnes comes in to take care of the kids and Vision suddenly stops her. And she says to Wanda, you want me to take the baby, so should I take it from the top? Or, well, how...
It was something like that. Should I take it again? Or should I take it from the top? Yeah, something like
that. That was so... I was in shock. I was like, what is happening? And Vision, the way that he reacted to that was so organic. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think it showed Agnes's free will in it at the same time, because a lot of them can't break character. None of them can break character. But the only thing that confuses me now, as we dive into episode 6, is that Herb says to her, do you need anything? Like, what do you, like, asking her, like, what does she want? As if he wanted her to do something, if she needed him to do something in the show. And that's why I was like, huh. But at the same time, a part of that might be that there's little evidence, like little things showing that Wanda's slowly losing it, like losing control in the reality. Mm-hmm. So that might be why it happened with Herb. But in that moment when episode 6 wasn't released and episode 5 was, I also love that moment because it just showed Agnes's free will. Like, and she's also challenging Wanda in that because it makes Wanda have to take a step back.
But you know what? That also happened with the mailman. As they were looking for the dog, the mailman says, oh, but it's okay, children. Your mom is going to we'll fix it up or something like that. I was like, oh, wait, like they're talking about this. Like, it's normal.
Yeah, exactly.
And since we're talking about episode 6 and we're talking about Wanda, like, losing it, we can talk then about what's happening on the, like, on the border of the,
the town.
How does she call it? She calls it the
Hexagon.
The hexagon, yeah.
Yeah, the border of the town. Yeah, with everyone being still, but not being still. Are they dead? Are they alive? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is curious, because that means that the scope of her power can only extend so far. And she just keeps them stationary, but also might be because she doesn't need them. Like, why would she need to use her power to be controlling them when none of the main characters or the sitcom is taking place there? So it wouldn't really matter. So maybe she does have them stationary for when she needs people to come in. Yeah.
It's the storage. It's the storage area. It's just like on the 5th episode, where Vision says there are no children. And suddenly on episode 6, we're having a Halloween spectacular episode.
And where Pietro says it.
Where those children on the border, or what did she do with them, you know? And what's going to happen next on that next episode? What is she going to do with all these children?
So let's just dive into episode 6 more. What were your first reactions?
Okay. So we know that on episode 5, in the last minutes, somebody new appears all of a sudden, Pietro Maximoff. What? And not only Pietro Maximoff, but it's not the Pietro Maximoff that we know. Mm-hmm. Well, we do know Quicksilver from X-Men, and we see him here, so we're like, oh my god,
but
what
is he that Pietro?
Exactly. That is the question. And I think that Wanda also has that question, because she's been testing him a lot in that last episode with all those questions that he never answered.
So who do you think Pietro is? Who do you think that Pietro is? So many different theories, but what do you think?
No, there's this idea of Mephisto and Mephisto and Mephisto, and I have no idea. It's just too obvious if you do it that way, because there's a lot of references of him, you know, saying, oh, go and wreak havoc or unleash hell to the children. But it's too obvious, you know?
I agree. I think it's too obvious. And I also think, and I said this before, when we, like, speculated that Evan Peters was coming in, or when we saw him come in, I said they wouldn't cast Evan Peters in that role. And I'm telling you right now that he wouldn't be. Like, he's a great actor. He's done American Horror Story. Obviously, he can do really great things in horror. But he never plays that kind of character in American Horror Story. In my defense, I really don't think so. He played very crazy characters. He's played borderline things. But he's never played, like, that much evil. So
maybe
I don't...
First time, Jen.
I know. And I'm not going to knock him. He's a really great actor. He could do amazing things. But I just think that that would also be too obvious in casting and in looking at a casting role. If you cast him and you know him from this amazing horror aspect, and he does other things too, but he's very well known for his horror things, and you put him in this role, then I feel like obviously everyone's gonna be like, yeah, no shit, he's gonna be the devil. Like, that makes sense for him. So I feel like if they're changing the story in a way, I don't think it's him as that. I think that he is there for some other reason. And I think it's one of two things. They're either tricking us because they want us to get hype about X-Men, and they're making us think that she pulled him in. Or I think it's more of she needed Pietro and she gave him a different face, obviously, because she doesn't have his body. And I thought from the beginning, like with Vision too, I thought that Vision was a part of her subconscious. And that's why it's questioning it, because he is created as, he's always been her good side. So he's creating as the subconscious of her. So I think another extension of that is the Pietro that she created. And I don't think it is our, even though how much I would love for it to be the X-Men version from that side, I don't think that he is that person. I think that it's another extension of her subconscious or of her conscious or something in her that she created because she needed him in those moments. And they're both serving as different things. He is now questioning her and how she got there because she repressed those memories of how she got to where she is. And Vision's trying to find a way out to help her and to basically hopefully save her. So I kind of question whether or not he is real, but I do love the theory that she pulled him from the other universe, that she gave him all the memories that he has, and he thinks that he is this role, and in reality, he's being manipulated too, and that when all this goes away, everyone's like, who the hell are you? And you're like, I don't know, and she opened the multiverse. That would be great, and I think that's awesome, but that would set up so much that would need to be solved. And I think that's why it's harder to do that. I think if they're doing that, then they casted him on purpose to trick everyone. And that's another casting decision. So I don't know.
Well, I think that Vision is there. And I think that he's alive.
That he's alive?
Yeah, I think that she made him, you know, with her powers, she did something. Because there's something that I rewatched the episodes a couple of times because, you know, when I'm bored, I like to.
So
he's been working at this how do you call that? Like a computer processing data.
Oh, business company.
Yeah. So, and this is called One Division. So I feel that both of them are the reason this anomaly is happening.
Yeah.
Wanda is the one that has the power, and Vision is the one that can process the power even furthermore. I mean, this is a theory that just it popped into my head when I was watching it.
What do you think would happening then when he tried to escape the hexagon? He started falling apart.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm like, I don't know, because nothing happened when he got out. Like everything was normal.
The thing is, too, I question myself with my own theory, because if I'm saying that, the things, they've already proven that when she creates something in the hex, it becomes real. And they prove that with Monica's costume, mm-hmm. when they brought it back out, that it became real. So if I'm saying, like, oh, she created Pietro and she created Vision in her head, then why were they falling apart why was he falling apart when he came out? And I think it just has to do something with maybe Vision is half alive and half not, because, you know, he needs the stone to be alive, and maybe she started it, maybe she didn't, I don't know. Maybe he's just not fully back, and that's why. He has to stay inside the hex to be able to stay alive.
Another thing is that we don't know what happened when Wanda turned the hex red. Because we know it's red now, but we don't know what it does. So maybe that's why he started decomposing himself when he got out.
Yeah, you know, it's true, because it wasn't red when Monica, when they first started looking at it.
It was blue.
Yeah, you're right.
No, it's just a lot of, like, they are purposely putting stuff there to make us even more confused and make up all of these theories, but we can't have anything for sure because everything is just so well mixed up.
Yeah. So who do you think the the villain is.
That's, well, you know, for the first few episodes, I thought Agnes was, but she's, if she's the villain, she's a good actress, because.
I think she is. Oh, no, she is. I think she is.
In the last episode, when the kids ask her, when the kids tell Wanda, you can bring back the dead, and she asks, you can do that? It was kind of like, how would you not know that? And then on this episode, when Vision sees her at the edge on the avenue, the one that says, hey, the back off, don't go there.
Ellis Avenue.
That one, thank you. She looked like she was actually, like, lost.
I don't believe it. I think that she was pushing it for a reason. Why was she there? I think that she was trying to push Vision. That's why she did that. And another thing I saw, I'm not going to take credit for this. It was an Easter egg I saw on Instagram. But they pointed out that Agnes was driving and nobody in Westview drive because Vision points out that he has to walk to work. Nobody drives, but Agnes is here driving, and she's randomly at the edge of town.
Yeah, actually.
And she got lost at the edge of town. No, I think that she was completely acting, because she most likely, if she's controlling it, she knows that he has this ability because he did it with Norm. Is his name Norm, right? So she must know that he has the ability to do that. So then she put herself in that shoe to push him even more, because she pushed him. She told him he was dead, and she kept repeating, dead, dead, dead. She kept repeating it to him to really put it in his head that he's dead. And I think that she was trying to do it on purpose to push him, to push Wanda even further, because Wanda's the weapon that she's trying to yield. And I don't think that she's in it alone. Like, I don't think we're going to come out of this and be like, ha, 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 I was a villain the whole time. Like, I think that there's something else there, and I don't know. And that's why people say it's Mephisto. I don't know. But I do think that she is still a part of the problem. And, like, I think she killed the dog. I think that she is always there for a reason. And I think that at the same time, like, in the episode 5, when Wanda does her power in front of her, it's because Wanda's starting to let her guard down in front of her. And there might be a reason for that. So I think that Agnes is not, like, a regular townsfolk. I think that she cannot be trusted. And I think that she... I feel like she is Agatha Hart. Like, I feel like it's there, but I want to see what they do with it. But I think that she is one of the villains. And that's why I'm like, Catherine's heart is so amazing at her acting, because she's doing it 3 times in a row.
And this, I get that. I get that. And it's true. And we all know her name. We saw her name on the report that they did of all the cast members, which is amazing. I love the little puns of like when she says she recast Pietro. I love those puns. So yeah, there's this idea of her being bad, and I can't get it out of my head either. I mean, they could be more than one villain, or they could be more sides of villains, you know, because we know that Hayward is. There's something there. He did, like, S.W.O.R.D. did something to Vision, and that's why Wanda went there. And we don't know. Maybe they even picked up Pietro and put him there as a way of, you know...
fucking with her.
Yeah. Oh, we curse? Oh, I didn't know.
I think that Hayward is the seed for a lot going on. And another great point that others have pointed out, again, I'm not going to take credit for it, that Wanda might have been imprisoned with Vision, and that she was breaking them both out. Because the video we see is just her taking him out. We don't know what happened before that. And I would 100% believe that. Because the last time we saw Wanda, she was at Tony's funeral. And then now she's in Westfield. Like, there's barely any time. And obviously Hayward is very sus. And I think that he was trying to use Vision's body as a weapon. And he clearly has a hatred towards supers as he's expressing it. And another thing that people have pointed out that, again, I'm not taking credit for, is that the reason that they think it might be an X-Men setup is because obviously in every X-Men universe, they are hated because of their powers. And it's different from the supes, you know? So people are starting to get that sentiment now. It could set up the next universe. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Do you think this is an X-Men origin story starting, or do you think it's an, like, not? What do you think?
I have no clue. I have no idea, because we still don't know what the heck is going on with Pietro, and I think that's the only hint that we would have. And we still have nothing to, like, say, oh, this is. But, you know, if it is, it would be amazing. If it's not, then it's not.
Yeah, because the difference for everyone, like, the difference between being a mutate and being a mutant. All of our supers, well, not all of ours, but the ones that have powers, Spider-Man, for example, is a mutate. They're given, they got the powers later on, and if they were to then procreate, their procreations would most likely have the same ones that they have. But mutants, their X gene is in them when they are born. And then it changes as well for when they procreate and things like that. So there's a difference. So if Wanda's creating people with powers, they are still technically mutates. They're not mutants. Unless if it is triggering the X gene that they've already had and the power of the hexagon then triggers it. And that's what makes them mutants. And that's why then going forward, mutants can start to create. Or she does open the multiverse and they just start fucking falling in from all around, specifically from Fox. And we have, that's why we have Evan Peters Quicksilver, that they just are there and they just existed in their universe and they fall in.
And maybe they were in the same universe, but nobody had been talking about them.
Or the thing was that they haven't been triggered yet, and her hexagon triggers their X gene that they already had, and then mutants are created and things like that, which would also make sense if they're doing that. But I don't know, because I don't know if they're going to set that up yet. I definitely think they're setting up Young Avengers. Like, that's definitely established, or setting up the next generation of Avengers. But are they also going to take on setting up the X-Men? Like, that's a huge thing to set up. And yes, it's great that they just, like, reacquired it now and we can, like, dive in with it, but what does that mean? Are they going to start from scratch? Is that why they're doing it from Wanda, because they want to start from scratch and they're saying we're going to create everyone all over again? Or are they going to go from what's already been created and try to make it make sense? And that's why I think the show gives them both ways, because if they do, oh, we open the multiverse and everyone's just, like, you know, fallen in, then you could start from where it is. Or if you're starting from scratch and you're saying Wanda is then triggering them to be created, then you're starting all over again. So I don't know what they're going to go with, and I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know which way I want them to go, because I love the X-Men movies.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, because, like, they already fixed what happened with the first X-Men movies, where everybody died in the third installment. So why would they try to fix something that was just fixed a couple of years ago? So yeah, I think it would make sense to make the origin story, but not the actual story, like, start to put us back in this idea of, oh, we're going back to X-Men, but it's already fixed. So we don't need, we just want to see the X-Men again.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think we want to see it with the MCU. That's why we want to see it blend. So I don't know how they want to do that with that. And that's why I'm, like, sometimes going away from the thought of, like, that Pietro is the Pietro, the Quicksilver we know from the X-Men, from the X-Men Fox, sorry. So I don't know if they're going to do that. And I feel like that could still be a possibility, and she's making him suppress it, and then he's just kind of questioning her. But the funny thing about him right now in this last episode is that he is, like, questioning her. He's grilling her. And all of the memories that were, like, popping up, like the flashback of them as a kid, she did that because she was talking about it. So it's like he's kind of avoiding that and more of, like, questioning her of how she got here. And that's why it's like he's either good or evil, because either, like, he's a part of her and she's trying to make herself, like, get out of it. Or he is a part of the evilness that is there and trying to push her even more. So, I don't know. I'm wondering if he's going to be in, I guess he'll be in the next episode, but he made the comment about him being in, like, the Halloween special episode, like how they did it, where, like, the uncle comes and, like, the special.
I mean, let's see how it goes also, because the last thing that we saw was her pushing him with her powers. Like, she was, okay, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
But we don't know what will happen next. So, let's see how that relationship changes, if it changes, or if he is in the next episode, which I hope. Because, you know, you're not going to put Evan Peters on one episode and then suddenly he's out of the series forever, you know?
Okay, so guys, we just watched the episode 7 trailer before the episode comes out. And we were just trying to see what we could spot. And right away, we saw that there's a cut of Wanda coming down in a room, which looks like nothing that was in Westview. It honestly looks like it's like in some facility, maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. She's looking at something blue. It turns yellow. And then next thing you know, it's shot of the 50s set, the TV screen. She's coming out of it, and Vision is already in his 50s attire. And on the TV screen is her in her 50s attire, but she is still in her regular Wanda outfit. And then it cuts to other things. So that made us both go, what the fuck? Because it could be that maybe the next episode is showing a little bit of how she got there. And I think what's interesting is the blue, because what the fuck is the blue? The yellow, we can obviously be like, oh, the Mind Stone, but even though it doesn't make any sense, but what is the blue? And obviously we hear Agatha cackling. Or Agnes, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Agnes. We don't know. We don't know if it's Agatha. We don't even know if it's Agnes, but, like, you know, it's... It sounds like her. It sounds like her. It definitely sounds like her. Like, that's another thing. We've been listening to this cackling throughout the episodes. It's there. It's not like a full on witch cackling, but it is there. So yeah. And it would be cool though if they, you know, they've been talking about these last two episodes. The first one on episode 5, she says to Vision, I don't know how I did this. I don't know how this started. And the same thing she says to Pietro. So maybe this episode she'll be like, okay, so I guess it's time to check out if we can get to how did we get here? How did she get here?
Yeah, agreed. I think it's going to show a little bit about that, about how she got there a little bit. So that's why, again, seeing this made me feel like it wasn't her fault, and I feel like something or someone led her somewhere, maybe in her grief, to say we can fix Vision, and then they get her there, and in essence it fixes Vision because it gives her the life that she always wanted.
That was my theory with Agnes. That's what I've been thinking, that you know, she wants something from her, and she used Vision, the grief of Vision, of Vision's loss, to just guide her to what she wanted. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's another reason why I don't think it's like Wanda being evil and doing this out of her grief, because she's gone through a lot of like horrible shit already. Yes, and she still came out on top. So I feel like, yes, it made her, like what she said, like feel nothingness and things like that. And that's all very valid. But I also feel like somebody just manipulated her in her grief to be like, we can give you that. And then she was able to get it. And they're just using her to get her powers for something. And maybe that is opening the multiverse. Maybe that is extending her power so she destroys the world. Or I don't know, you know? But I feel like they're using her as a vessel. Just like she's using... It's a whole game of puppeteer. They're using her as a vessel. She's using everyone else as a vessel. And they're all being puppeteered. So it's like a line of puppet masters. One after the other.
Oy.
So what do you think about Darcy?
I kind of wanted to see her inside. I wanted to see how would she react. I don't know. Because, you know, Monica could, you know, even though she got sucked into the game, per se, she kind of remembered stuff, and that's why she got kicked out. So what will happen with Darcy? That's what I want to know.
Also, we can now question, because Monica got sucked in. Monica easily could have got sucked in and just become one of the people on the outside of town because they're so far in. So Wanda purposely decided to bring her in as one of the characters rather than, like, you know, there's like the objects that come in. Like, yes, she was ignoring them and she had them here and there, but she could have easily put Monica, just been like, oh, what the fuck, and put her like on the outside. But she chose to have her in because of something. So maybe with Darcy, she'll do the same. And maybe she'll realize that Darcy and Monica are on her side, and she'll start to try to use that, or I don't know. Or she'll just put like Darcy in like that kind of like zone where she's like not really doing anything and she's that person. But I feel like she won't. I feel like she'll she'll be relevant.
But you know what? Now that you say that, when Wanda extended her powers, everybody else outside, like the ones that were starting to merge into the universe, into her hex, they were fully functioning.
Yeah, they were circus. She made them into circus because she thinks it's... I think that was a joke.
Yeah. But it makes me wonder whether... they were able to function because she was using her full powers to fully, you know, to further the hex, or is it because the people that are frozen are frozen because of something else?
Yeah.
Or someone else.
Ooh. Yeah, so that's what I'm curious about. So just to talk quickly about some Easter eggs in the episode, there was...
You lose me here, but okay.
some of them. There was on the marquee for the movie theater, there was The Incredibles and The Parent Trap, but Incredibles wasn't released during that era. Incredibles is a movie from 2004, I believe.
Yeah, I was actually wondering why. And, well, you know, The Parent Trap, it depends on which Parent Trap we're talking about.
Yes, that too. But The Parent Trap lined up, but... The Incredibles did not. Incredibles 2004. Mm-hmm. And they might have done that because...
Why the Parent Trap?
Parent Trap because it's about two twins. The kids.
Okay. And yeah, but still, the Parent Trap. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's funny. Like, you're trapping the parents. You're literally trapping on the vision.
Where these two kids come from. That's another thing. So we don't know. And in that last episode, they appeared with Agnes. Like, it was Agnes, Billy, and Tommy. Tommy is the other one, right?
Yeah.
They were together, so that could mean something.
They also gained their powers throughout the episode.
But that could also mean something. And the Parent Trap, because the Incredibles, you know, they got superpowers. Are they mutants? No, just kidding. But are they? No, but for real, like, the Incredibles, we know that they have superpowers, and that's cool. But the Parent Trap, that's a lot to read into. Like, yes, they're twins, and they set up a trap, technically, for their parents. So what's going to happen in this next episode? Is there going to be something related to these two, to these twins?
Literally,
that we don't know where they come from.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing. So do you think the twins are real?
I feel like they are, but there's a dark origin for these two twins. Because they're two. So two twins. What?
Yeah, I feel like there's something sus. I feel like it's not what we think. And I think they are real. I 100% think they're real. And that's why everyone might think that the Mephisto things is right, because then that's how they were created in the comics. But I don't know.
How are they created in the comics?
They use a part of Mephisto's soul.
Okay. I mean, they're not Vision children. Like, they're not.
Obviously, he can't make children.
Exactly. So, where did they come from? I mean, Virgin Mary replica, but in the other side, Dark Marvel?
Yeah, literally. So, that was the two Easter eggs, though. And it could be showing that they're, like, meaning something about going forward, or it could show that, like, Wanda's losing her grip on the reality with certain things going wrong, which I think might be right, because since we just watched the episode 7 trailer and you pointed out about the furniture, that, what did she say it was again?
Yeah, because she's trying to change it. I think that she wants to keep on going through the decades, and suddenly it turns back. That's what I saw on trailer. I really don't know if that's what's going on, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah, so I feel like it could be that they're slowly going, like she's slowly losing her grip on it, which I think is going to become really obvious if she's extending it. Because it means that she can't control the whole thing. So, which doesn't surprise me. The costumes they wear is a reference to the original, like, their costumes in the comics, which I thought was so sweet.
That was sweet.
Amazing costume designer. Oh, what do you think about the commercial?
Which commercial was this? Oh, yes. Okay. Whoa. I was like, why did it suddenly turn so dark? What was the name of
Yo Magic?
So I've been thinking about this, you know, reading into everything, he can't open it, and it's called Yo Magic. Like, Yo Magic is feeding me, but I can't open it, so I'm trying to open it. So who is trying to open it, and who's going to die if it can't open it? And what are they trying to open?
Ooh, that's a great way to look at it.
You didn't think about that?
I was thinking about it because of the fact that it's the first episode without the two actors, right? Mm. So I think it shows that Wanda didn't control that commercial. I think it showed that somebody else did. And yes, it's the claymation style because it fits the decade, which also was great. I love claymation. But I think that it was showing something because all of the other commercials related to Wanda's life. The bombs, the killings, like it's all related to things that happened to her, and this one is not. So I just felt like it just wasn't something created by her. I think it was something created by somebody else, and I think that you're right in the way that it's like showing that something's gonna big is gonna happen. So I'm excited to see what the next commercials are, and I'm wondering if they're gonna keep doing them. Like, my question are they gonna, like you said, stop doing the sitcoms? Like, she's trying to keep it in the sitcoms, but it's like slowly fading. That has to be more into like real world. So I feel like if that's what's happening, I feel like we might get maybe one more commercial, but I feel like the commercial aspect is going to start fading because she's going to start losing her grip on this sitcom-y realities.
I mean, if we're doing an episode per decade, you know, I mean, a decade per episode, and the next episode would be the 2000s, then we have 2010s, and then we're in today's era, which
where they are in the show, yeah, in the movies. Yeah,
exactly. So how would that make sense in a sitcom, you know?
Yeah, Modern Family was a big one from the early 2000s, but what would be the next big one from 2010 to now?
Mm-hmm. I have no clue. I mean,
so a lot of the ones that started in the early 2000s just kind of fell over into, and it didn't change style.
Yeah.
So after all this, who do you think is the strongest Avenger?
Well, they said it on the series, like,
I know.
She wrecked him. Thanos, if he hadn't how do you say that?
Snapped.
Yeah, exactly.
Or so. who was your favorite though before this?
Before this? I've never had a favorite.
Okay, but if you had to choose, who do you think your favorite would have been?
I had to choose. Iron Man.
Why?
I know you're gonna say something.
Just everyone knows, like, Iron Man is my least favorite character. I think he's very funny, and it was great acting and great way for his movies. Like, it great, but he's my least favorite character out of all the whole series. He's just a dick. I don't appreciate that. I mean, like, he's funny. His lines are funny. I think I also don't love as much. I've never, like, even growing up, like, characters that aren't, like, powers, if that makes sense. Like, they're not mutants or mutants, because to me that's like, okay, great, like, you created the suit and now you're an amazing event. Like, he was great fighting, but I feel like he was just a human, and that's why a lot of problems started, I feel like. And I just find, like, problems in humanity. So I don't know, I think it's like cooler when you're just like, you have Spidey powers, or you have powers from the stones or something like that. Like, that's funny to me.
Something that I don't like about him is how self-absorbed and how obnoxious and unempathetic he is. But I mean, that's what's interesting about it also, that he's like the one human in the group, and he's the human with the most flaws, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it makes him even more human.
Yeah, so I get it. It's like, great, but he just was my least favorite. My favorite... I mean, I've always loved Wanda, but my other favorite, honestly, like, I really love the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, every character in those movies, like, those are probably one of my favorite movies. But I think after that would be Ant-Man, and then after that,
I was gonna say that. I knew you were gonna say Ant-Man.
I love him. Oh my god. Oh my god. When every time he shows up, I'm like, ah! And That's why when Jimmy Woo showed up with the magic trick, I was like.
But then again, Ant-Man is human and he's just wearing a costume.
I know. So, like, it defeats what I'm talking about. So, maybe, like, in reality, like, that's, I'm just being hypocritical about Tony Stark. But, okay, yeah. But I do love, I'm like, that is kind of like cliche, but I do love Spider-Man. And maybe that's because we grew up with Tommy McGuire movies and Spider-Man just whole, I understand why he sells so well. Like, he really is great. So, and same with Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I can say the same thing. Like, there's the humans in that.
I mean, and also with Spider-Man, we grew up watching Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The other heroes, we didn't see them until much later. I mean, for my experience, I was born in 1996, and I watched every Spider-Man movie, the ones with Tom Holland, the ones with Andrew Garfield, the ones with what's his name?
Tobey Maguire.
Oh, thank you, Tobey Maguire. So I think
too with that too, I agree because like, I watched all the movies growing up. Like I watched all of these growing up. It's just the Spider-Man ones just like hit different, and maybe that's because my mom just like loved to rewatch them. And same with the X-Men ones, like we were like knee deep in them. So I feel like, I think it depends. Like I feel like if you were just like really shown like Tobey Maguire, and you were like, look at Tobey Maguire, like you fell in love with the art of the movies, which they're really great movies. So I feel like that also might create it in that sense, but it, I don't know, Spider-Man's just always been a big character, and I feel like it was big for people before us, and then people now, and, I mean, not people before us, it's not that old, but you know what I mean, like,
before us.
I feel like, I don't know, it makes sense to me that Spider-Man is so big, and why I love him so much. So, the last thing I want to talk about is I'm trying to do in every fandom episode a little bit of trivia to then win a little prize, which I know because we're not going to do trivia on WandaVision because the show's still going on. So how are you going to do trivia on a show that's still going on? But we'll do trivia on Marvel in general with Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you get a prize in the end.
I get a prize?
You do get a prize.
I'm going to lose, but okay.
Which of these is not an Infinity Stone? Love, reality, space, or time?
Love?
Yes, you're correct. What is Captain America's shield made out of? Gratonium, vibranium, adamantium, or scrabite?
Really? Vibranium.
Yes. Good, because I could not pronounce the other ones. What country are Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver from?
You're not gonna give me the.
Sorry, Wakanda, Krakona, Skimaria, or Sokovia?
Sokovia.
Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce things. Who can lift Thor's hammer? Captain America, Spider-Man, Black Widow, or Tony Stark?
Captain America.
Yes, in Infinity War, he does that. What species did Loki discover he is? Human, Asgardian, Frost Giant, or a god?
Frost Giant?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. I know more than I thought.
Who is Hawkeye married to? Natasha, Wanda, Bobby, or Laura?
Natasha.
No, it's Laura.
Oh, right. Okay, wait. No, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Which of these characters is not a child of Thanos? Nebula, Gamora, Ronan, or Vision?
Vision.
Perfect. He was born from the Mind Stone. What museum has a Captain America exhibit? The Smithsonian, the Met, International Spy Museum, or the Guggenheim? The Smithsonian.
Smithsonian.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, the other ones don't have any other, like movie references, so that would be weird.
Steve borrows the Captain America uniform from the Smithsonian exhibit in Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier. So I'm going to say that's a win.
Yay!
And what you win is a Pop Funko keychain of one of the Avengers coming to
you. Oh, my God! That's so dope. Yes, thanks. Woohoo!
Woohoo! I'll share a picture of it when the episode launches, what you want.
Cool.
So thank you for being on the first fandom episode with me for WandaVision. Hopefully we may or may not do a quick little like clip it episode of our reaction to the finals, just because I feel like they're gonna leave us on a quick hanger. So it's a quick hanger, a cliffhanger. And just so you guys know, there's more to come with my fandom episode. It's not gonna just be just Marvel. Yeah, we'll definitely do Shrek. Yeah, we'll do Shrek. It makes sense. Maybe.
I'm the biggest fan of Shrek, just so you guys know.
Probably should do Shrek then. So the next one will be a Disney one. I'm not going to say what it is yet, but be on the lookout for that one. And as a reminder, after this one will be a lifestyle podcast because every other week it changes. So thank you, Andres, for being on.
Thank you, John, for inviting me.
Of course. Oh, one quick more fun question. What power do you wish you had?
Oh, my God. I would say, this will sound so bad. I would like to read everybody's mind.
<That's> interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of, okay. Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah, I would like to, like, move things with my mind.
Move things with your mind? I mean, it's kind of like that. I want to, like, be able, like, that kind of mind game, everything that has to do with mind.
Okay, so we want to be Wanda.
Okay, let's be Wanda.
I'll be Wanda to wrap it up. Thanks, guys, for coming. Hope you guys have a magical day.